Well, Jack, it's now time to begin the Lost rewatch.
Oh, wait, we're supposed to be happy.
We're supposed to be happy.
I always thought it was ending.
Lost is over, and now we have the complete show to look back on.
And we start with Pilot 1, Episode 1 and 2.
Yeah, today. So, as we embark on this journey through the entire series of Lost.
Lost.
So, Jack.
Every single episode. Every single minute. Every single second. Of this great show.
And we'll be doing two episodes, reviewing them in each podcast.
Yes.
And hopefully.
Hopefully. It'll end.
And hopefully it'll make a little more sense.
Yeah. Hopefully the people that watch it will like the ending. The ones that hated the ending will like it this time.
I agree. So Jack, what do you say we start the rewatch?
Do it.
North Carolina. It's the Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the sixth season of the Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Gary Troop.
Hey, yes, poor Gary Troop.
Get away
poor
from there. Oh, I guess not.
Yeah, I was going to wait till the, I guess, Lost in Review to talk about that. But I think really, if you think about it, Locke killed him.
Yes, he did.
You know, because he was like, maybe, wait, you can't go in there. And he's paused. And when he paused, that's when.
Maybe he was Man in Black the whole time.
well, we'll save that for later. But so today begins the Lost rewatch.
Right.
And for those, like, people are still asking, what is... We're covering two episodes a podcast.
No, we're not rewriting Lost.
No. But we're going to be looking back on the entire series as a whole of Lost, and we're going to do two episodes of the show in order every week.
There is
going to be weeks where there's going to be weeks off, but generally every
you'll
week.
You'll get some notification.
Yeah, you should get plenty of notice. And so generally, the week before, watch the two episodes. Take your own personal notes and then call in with your own listener questions, comments, and or
theories
to be in the listener feedback section. And so the way it's going to be organized is...
Organized?
Yeah, there's going to be a Lost...
So it's going to be different than the other Lost podcast we did.
Kind of, yeah. There's going to be a Lost recap.
Lost recap!
Which is going to be a bit quicker, just kind of going over what happened in the episode. Then Lost in Review, that's where Jack and I are going to kind of go deeper into how this affected the series as a whole and maybe some bigger, broader questions or things that we forgot about over time. And then next up will be...
I forgot Jack had shaved hair.
Listener feedback. And then after listener feedback, Jack will do a crackpot theory of the week.
Mm-hmm. I'll try.
And then after that, Jack and I will grade the episode...
The importance of its to the series
to the overall
story
to the overall story arc.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know, right? And we'll be grading that on a scale of 4 to 108.
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 24.
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
48.
Wow, what?
I'm all messed up.
Jeez.
It's been a while.
Oh, man.
It's been a while.
And then after that, there'll be next, and I'm sorry, after that, there'll be next on Lost,
what we're going to
be covering
show.
Next week. And that's it.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Jack.
I'm a little out of Lost shape, so I don't think it's my fault.
It's time to get back into Lost shape, because here we go. The first ever Lost rewatch, Lost recap. Here we go.
Okay.
Lost recap. Lost recap. Lost recap.
All right, it's
I'm just glad you brought back the Lost recap, Lost weekend show.
Yeah,
I'm off.
Your life, man.
I'm just off.
I expect better from you.
We just recorded a Merry
Man. You're always
Man,
a gamer,
and I'm just maybe I'm a little sluggish. I guess so.
Dale does it.
Maybe too. I'm Gary Troop.
Dale's like fast food. It slows you down.
You should save that for the Merry Man.
But okay, so today we are covering pilots part 1 and 2. We're counting this as 2 episodes because. Maybe may or may not remember this, but one aired on the 22nd, which is today, Lost Anniversary Day.
What a great
and
idea.
And a week later was on the 29th. So, Jack, what do you say we start?
Do it.
And it's going to be a bit quicker, not really the same, so here we go.
It's not going to be bit by scene by scene by scene.
Exactly. I'm going to have a quick cap.
Quick cap.
So here we go. Jack wakes up in a bamboo forest
right.
in a nice suit.
He's breathing hard, too.
Yes. Vincent is watching.
Now, you know what cracks me up about this scene, though?
Save this for... Okay, well, you're going to make this slow with all your commentary.
I'm just saying, it's like okay. a little spoiler alert. Instead of running and laying next to him, he runs away. Right?
Yeah.
Vincent, not Jack.
Mm-hmm. Runs by a white shoe and onto the beach with a wrecked 815.
Yeah, and you don't hear any sound. All you hear is Jack's breathing at first.
Then you're... Saves man under wreckage, meets Locke. Rose goes to Rose, meets Boone.
Boone gets a pencil, right? To
yeah. Gary Troop explodes.
Boom.
He helps Claire, meets Hurley, then saves Rose. Then
he's
saves,
all over the place.
Then he saves Claire and Hurley from an exploding plane.
And I think that is a very important part of the show.
Okay.
That scene right there, because without...
Save it for the... You gotta save this for a Lost interview. You're getting into all your details.
Man.
Save it for the review.
Fine.
Goodness gracious. Jack wanders through wreckage, gets sewing kit, meets Kate and asks her to help, and he tells a story of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
All right. Then we see Sawyer smokes. Saeed meets Charlie. Charlie writes fate on his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Boone tries to give Shannon an Apollo bar. Hurley hands out food. Jin is a jerk.
Yes.
Jack attends to Marshall Mars. Kate gets nervous. Jack says that they need to get the transceiver.
Yes.
And Man in Black introduces himself.
Yes, he does.
The next day, Jack and Kate go after the cockpit. Kate needs shoes.
Well, Charlie was with them.
Everybody. Kate needs shoes.
Takes him off a dead guy. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, Locke has creepy orange smile.
He's just a creepy old bald-headed guy.
Mm-hmm. And Charlie insists he joins Kate and Jack on the way. Charlie sings, "You all, everybody."
You all, everybody.
A rainstorm sends everyone for cover except Locke, and Man in Black makes some noise in the jungle.
Jin wouldn't share.
Yeah. Charlie, Jack, and Kate find the front of a plane. They climb up to the cockpit and find an alive Seth Norris.
Yes, the pilot, was the pilot a hero or was that later on?
Well, let's see. Seth tells them that they lost radio contact and headed to Fiji.
1,000 miles off course.
They were 1,000 miles off course. They find the transceiver, but it doesn't work. Charlie comes out of the bathroom and Man in Black is at the cockpit. Norris looks outside to see what's up, and he gets killed. They run out of the plane into the jungle, and Man in Black is behind them. The three split up. Kate hides and counts to 5 to combat fear.
Mm-hmm.
Kate and Charlie find each other after Man in Black leaves. As they look for Jack, Kate finds the pilot wings, and in the reflection in the mud, she sees Seth Norris'
Classic
body in the
Spielberg.
Trees. Jack says it's the pilot, and Charlie asks, what could do that? Going to the flashback in this, it was a little bit of Jack. Jack gets more booze from Cindy, flirts with Rose while Bernard is in the bathroom, and plane has severe turbulence. Jack puts on an oxygen mask and blacks out. So that is pilot part 1.
Right.
Now going to pilot part 2. We're going to start with the flashbacks on this one. Charlie flashback. Runs in the bathroom to do heroin after being pursued by attendants. Starts to flush toilet. Plane crashes and he gets back to his seat. Or to a seat.
To a seat, up front.
Mm-hmm. That one's always...
That's always bugged me. No answer here, guys.
Yes. Kate flashback is, she is the convict. Marshall says, maybe they'll believe your story. I know I did.
Yeah, what is the story? We never heard the story.
Save it for Lost in Review.
I'm just saying, we never heard the story.
Kate asks for a favor. Plane crashes. Marshall's hit in the head. Tail rips off. Going back to island time, Jack, Kate, Charlie head back to the beach. Shannon Sunbaze, Boone gets ticked, and Claire used to have a stomach. She doesn't know she doesn't know the gender of the baby and hasn't felt it move since the crash. Sun watches Jin, who is picking shellfish. Michael asks about Walt, and Jin tells Sun to button up.
Walt!
Michael finds Walt looking for Vincent in the jungle. After Walt finds handcuffs, Syed and Sawyer fight Jack. I'm sorry, Syed and Sawyer fight. Jack breaks it up. And Sawyer gives Hurley his first nickname, Lardo. And then his second nickname, Jack, Doc. Doc.
That was the first one he used, Lardo.
Hurley visits Syed, learns he was in the Republican Guard. Kate bathes in underwear, and Sun tells her to return to camp.
That was a rough scene to watch.
Yes. Kate checks with Syed, and they both decide that he has to go to a high point to use a transceiver to get a signal. Kate visits Jack, who wants to save Marshall Mars. Kate goes off in the jungle again. Jim prepares shellfish, but no shellfish for wife. Walt reads Hurley's comic, Charlie uses heroin, and Jack enlists Hurley to find antibiotics. Boone picks on a crying Shannon, and Shannon joins Kate and Saeed's hike. Charlie joins for the ladies. Sawyer sadly reads a letter, and he sees them going on a hike, so he joins the hiking group. Jack tells Michael he saw Vincent. Locke shows Walt a special game played between two sides, light and dark. He also tells him a secret.
Yes.
Jin gives shellfish to Claire. She feels baby kick. Sawyer argues the right time to check the radio. Polar bear attacks. Sawyer kills polar bear with a gun.
The Marshall's gun.
Mm-hmm. Kate lies about not knowing how to disarm a gun. Hurley passes out on Jack. Marshall wakes up and asks, where is she? The Kate hikers get to a clearing. They hear Rousseau's transmission. Guys, where are we? So that is the recap. Jack, are you ready to get into Lost in Review?
Sure.
Let's go.
Each week there's one thing to do. It's none other than Lost in Review. We take a look back at last week's episode. It's Lost in Review.
All right, it's Lost in Review time. We had pilots part 1 and 2. So, Jack, what did we have in this episode?
Well, we had Jack becoming the leader 2 minutes into the show.
I know, right?
I mean, right away, he's thrown into the leadership. He's running,
exactly.
He's making decisions. He's running all over the place. Now, is he just making decisions a doctor would make? Or is it his leadership quality we'll find later on down the show?
I think it's his true leadership quality in that he didn't really have time to think about it. That was his natural way of acting.
Right.
It wasn't until he actually had time to really sit and think about it that he started debating being a leader. But we saw from the very beginning that he naturally had the leadership ability.
Right. Then we also see that Jack saves Hurley and Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without saving Hurley and Claire, you couldn't have the ending to the show.
That's true,
because
huh?
Because if Claire dies, there's no Aaron. Now, Kate wouldn't need to come back because she doesn't feel bad for raising Aaron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Hurley obviously becomes the number one guy, the man in charge. So
that
is very key to the show.
Yes.
So right off the bat, Shannon told Boone about the black box. Don't worry, they'll find it has a black box dummy. They'll sit there, they'll be able to find us. Wrong, Shannon. Wrong. Just go sunbathe. You're wrong. Wrong.
Poor Shannon. She's wrong a lot of times. Like when to run through the jungle when it's pouring down rain. There's apparitions of Walt.
Right. Shannon is not a nice person.
No. No, she is not.
Lardo was the first name that they used. Kate, the ocean scene, I guess that was key to get, the viewership up?
Yeah, I guess so. If it's J.J. Abrams, I guess you have to have a gratuitous nearly naked scene.
I guess it had to be done, and, I guess I was okay with it. Walt and Michael are not very close at this point.
Yeah, it was funny to see how bad a father Michael was there at the beginning when he said, "We can just buy you a new dog."
Yeah. Well, he's not he hasn't been a dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's just survived a plane crash. Can you really fault him for that?
I know
people like to hate on Michael, but at this point he's always been a dad, I guess, but he's become the caretaker of Walt, and they didn't, as we see later on. I won't get into that. I don't want to spoil anyone. But
we
see in the hotel scene later on that they don't get off to a good start.
No,
they're not. There's a lot of friction there, and then the plane crash, and then, of course, Walt's not listening, and Walt's doing what he wants, and he wants to find his dog, and he's walking around this island with these scary things, and he's not paying attention. He's being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Syed on the hike was always making sure Shannon was taken care of.
Really? I didn't notice
that.
Yeah,
she stumbled a couple of times, and he went back to grab her and pull her up. I'm saying,
I didn't even notice. So even in the pilot, they were hinting
that they were going to become a couple.
Because that always, to me, seemed like it was out of left field.
Well, you had
But looking at that,
as we find earlier, we see in a flashback that Shannon wasn't nice to Saeed in the airport.
Yes.
Well, on this one, he is taking care of Shannon.
Wow, okay.
So there's...
Good eyes.
Go back and watch that. Kate asks, when she's taking apart, does anyone know how to disarm, take apart the gun? And Charlie says, you just pull the trigger. So we find out that's how Charlie knows how to shoot Ethan. You just pull the trigger. We've always wondered.
That's a good point.
And I forgot all about that. So, yeah. You know. And what was the favor Kate was going to ask the marshal?
She, where did they say it?
Do we find that out?
Yeah, that's in Tabula Rasa. I think that's in the next episode. Yeah, that's the favor was to make sure that the Australian farmer got his money.
Ah, okay, I forgot all
about
that.
Remember the marshal asks her like before he dies, or
and
whatever.
Then in Russo's message, it killed them. It killed them all.
Mm-hmm.
16 years, 5 months. Now it killed them. We don't. It didn't kill them.
No. Well, the sickness killed them.
Sickness killed them.
Which at first when you're like, oh, it must have been the monster, and then it was like, oh, it was a sickness, but. When you think that it happened when they came into contact with Man in Black, Russo's party, it really was Man in Black that killed them, the sickness.
Mm-hmm. So it all added up to something. So overall, I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah.
One and two. And I when you watch some of the shows today that we've been watching, I watched The Event, which was good, and some of these other shows in the past we've watched, this pilot episode, episodes one and two, was fantastic.
Well, it hit all the points. I mean, it was pretty much a movie, really.
Not only that, but you cared about characters right away. You cared about Hurley. You cared about Jack. You cared about Kate. You cared. You already had people you didn't like. Sawyer. You didn't like Shannon. You didn't like Jin.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you were kind of lukewarm about. You had that crazy old bald-headed guy you weren't sure about.
Yeah.
But you knew he was a big time. He was a well-known actor at the time. So you knew that he was going to be important to the story.
He was a bit actor. He never really had a huge role.
But I'm not saying that, but you'd seen him in a lot of stuff. And I'd be like, okay, this guy's going to be, on the West Wing, and he'd been on other shows. And I go, okay, this guy's he's going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why he's kind of mysterious. But to have a pilot episode that just throws you, in what, 42 minutes each episode,
mm-hmm.
that makes you care about the characters right away. And like going, and the whole storyline, and not only that, but the storyline. You're going, okay, what's this smoke thing? What's this? What's going on here? Why are they off course? Why can't they be found? What's going on? Already we're asking questions. What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
What a fantastic start to a great show.
Yeah, and I think what we're talking about, caring about the characters, maybe what kind of worked so well for Lost was that the show initially was just a survival setting,
right?
And that's where you automatically. I mean, I think it's just human nature to automatically root. For the survivors, the underdogs. And that was kind of the beauty of the pilot is you set that up right off the bat.
Well, they had some comedy, too. You had Charlie going, well, Charlie's still here. Charlie's all right. When Kate was asking, Jack and Kate were asking each other if they're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Charlie's okay. Charlie's all right. So Charlie was actually being the comic relief. You had Hurley passing out the sign of blood.
Yeah.
And you had the rapport with Jack and Hurley right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bond there between the two. So
actually, I mean, there was humor in the, even in... I laughed when Boone was like saying I'm a lifeguard, and then Jack's like, you need to seriously consider giving that back or whatever, or you're giving that up,
yeah.
And then he's just like, should I get a pin? And he's like, yeah, you go do that.
Just basically, okay, get away, kid, you're bothering me.
But, yeah, yeah.
But right away, you had Boone. Boone was likable, though. Mm-hmm. He wanted to help. He wanted to get in
yeah.
there. But you also had, he was so likable, and his sister, we find out it's his sister,
mm-hmm.
was, you hated her.
Yeah.
I mean, you was like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God, I can't stand her.
Called her Kayla.
Yeah, she's laying there in a bikini. I still don't like her, because even then she was
so snotty.
Well, she almost had some humanity when she was talking to Claire.
Mm-hmm.
But then she just couldn't. It just, she's like, oh, okay, yeah. I hadn't felt the baby since the crash, and she didn't offer anything.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, maybe you'll be all right and all this stuff. But
yeah. But it is kind of cool, like, when you think about it, the people in the pilot that were, you didn't like.
Right.
It's kind of funny. All those, I guess those three would probably be Shannon, Sawyer, and Jin.
Right.
Of those three that you hated, you pretty much, Shannon, But pretty much that you had a complete turnaround of what you thought about them.
Oh, exactly. You know, that was the how the show was so fantastic. Mm-hmm. You have all these characters, and there were a lot of characters.
Yeah.
And to get you to care one way or another about these characters in a pilot episode, and also care about the story. You know, I keep saying that. How I care about I can remember the first time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, what's going on? And then you're watching, like I said, watching a little more closely this time. Like, I can't remember the last time I watched the pilot. But my first thought was like, oh my God, they were so young looking. You look at them, they don't really look the same.
I mean, yeah.
How they changed over the years and time. But it's just what an incredible start to a great show. I hate to keep saying that, but it was. It was just amazing. Like I said, Shannon, I couldn't stand her. I remember just going, God, if she were to die, I'd be upset. And then when she did die, I was like, oh my God, why'd they kill her off? You finally start to like her, and then that was the trend. You start to like them, and something would happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was amazing.
So did you see any parallels between the first episode and the last episode of the series?
Well, obviously the first scene with Vincent and Jack. That was, I mean, it struck me. I forgot that Vincent ran away like that. Like,
yeah.
And the second time he doesn't run
away.
He goes towards him and he stays with him.
Yeah.
Why Jack dies.
Mm-hmm.
And you get tired of him, you look great. But there's the whole thing where you could kind of see where Locke is off on his own already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though he was an anti, what's the word I'm looking for? He wasn't a very social guy.
We find that
out later on. But even in the beginning, he's helping out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then we find out why, you know, he's kind of, you know, walking around and he's kind of in a daze. But I think we find out why.
Well, I mean, you could say that, like, in the first episode, it's Locke's rebirth as someone who can walk. Like, during the monsoon, when he's sitting out there in the rains, it's almost like a baptism.
Right.
It's like he's being reborn. And in the last episode, he's already dead, but the reincarnated Locke is killed.
Right. No, so exactly. That's a good point.
You can kind of see that.
Because they're all looking at him like, but, you know, but Jin, there's things I didn't understand about Jin. He was so protective out of his wife, I guess, where he's... You know, it starts to pour down rain, and he won't let anyone come under their shelter.
Yeah.
But the next day, he's trying to feed them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But without his wife around.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't get, you know, it's like, what is he doing here? He's just like, one minute he's trying to bond with these people, next minute he's pushing them away.
I think it's just, there was no room, so he's like, no, there's no room.
But there was room. I don't think he wanted people around his wife.
Probably.
And I think that's what it was, when she was around.
Mm-hmm.
Later, and also, the first scene, I think, is between her and Kate. Right there you see, oh, she does understand English. She understood everything Kate was saying. And you look...
Definitely.
At the time, you didn't think anything of it, but you're mm-hmm. looking at... You look at when you what you know now,
mm-hmm.
and her look, it's like...
And that's a testament to Yoon-jin Kim's acting.
Right, but...
Just the way her face, you could tell she's hiding a secret, which is great.
But did they tell her that?
Yeah, they did.
Did they tell her that?
Okay. Yep.
So she knew... It was like, we didn't know.
Yeah.
I said, wow, that is... I go, she knows.
Another cool one is when Kate comes out of the jungle, she's holding her wrists because they had handcuffs on them.
Yeah.
I think that's always a good one. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to see that kind of stuff.
That was the fun part about watching again, knowing mm-hmm. everything, because I was like, oh, I don't know. But when you watch something, just those little scenes going, wow, she does. She knows right then and there she speaks English.
And of course, the portrayal of the backgammon game between light and dark.
Right.
Right from the beginning, they're showing where it's going to head eventually. You know, a battle between good and evil. And it's kind of funny that Locke is the one that introduces that for the first time.
Yeah. But I think that people who said they didn't have a story from the start, they did.
Mm-hmm.
They had something there.
And it's also cool that Locke is the one that names them Adam and Eve, our very own Adam and Eve. It's kind of cool. The season one Locke that made him so cool is because he kind of introduced a lot of the major themes of the entire show. And I think it just shows the significance of that character in the end. He may not turned out like a lot of people thought he would. But when you look back on it and see what he actually introduced into the show, you realize that he did have an importance, just a different importance.
Right. His problem was he couldn't accept his role.
Mm-hmm.
Of his, you know, if he just would have accepted his role, he'd still been alive.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, that we all have flaws, and we're all flawed. So that was his flaw.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Jack, do you want to rank this episode now? I think it's a good place to rank it, don't you think? Or do you want to do that after your Crackpot Theory of the Week?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Whatever up to you. Do we have any feedback?
The feedback's more not so much specific to this episode.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'd like to try and keep it all within this episode.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, let's why don't we rate it? What do you say?
Okay.
All right, cool. Here we go. Jack, out of a scale of 4 to 108, what do you give this episode?
I got to give it 108.
Okay, why do you give it 108?
Because it was the perfect pilot. Like I've said before, I've watched a lot of TV, a lot of shows, and I don't think a show has grasped my attention. It's like, oh my, you know, like comedies are a hard show to start off with. I think Modern Family, when I watched the first time, I was like, started laughing right away. It hasn't happened that. I mean, I can go back to Cheers where I go, oh, but then towards when you start developing into the show to be successful, I have to like the characters.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to care one way or another. To care 20 minutes into the show about these characters, when again, there were so many characters running around and the chaos that was going on running around.
Yeah, the way they introduced them, like when you look, I mean, the sheer amount of characters, especially the first season, like how they introduced them all.
Yeah.
And gave them all solid starts within just 42 minutes?
Right.
So, I mean, but within the first two parts of the pilot, so that's what, 42 plus 42, what's that? I can't add.
84.
So 84 total minutes, all those characters, and actually make us care about them?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I mean, you had a great story anyway with the plane crashing on an island. What would you do if your plane crashed on an island?
Yeah.
And you had, or you were stranded, what the all story, what would you do if you're stranded on a desert island?
Yeah, exactly.
Deserted island. So you find that out and you go, But to make it work the way they did, I got to give it 108.
Mm-hmm.
I have to.
Yeah, and I would say 108 as well. It hit all the perfect points. I mean, it was directed by J.J. Abrams.
It definitely wasn't a filler episode.
Yeah, exactly. It was running on all cylinders. It slowed down when it needed to get into a little bit more character development.
You had the when Kate runs up and Jack's getting, you know, he's got the wound and. You have there right away. They developed a bond.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, right away.
And that was our first introduction to Kate.
And it wasn't one of those boy meets girl. Oh my gosh, they're gonna fall in love type thing.
No, it was real. It was real.
It was like, hey, I'm hurt pretty bad. I didn't realize I was cut. Can you help me out? And he tells the whole story and everything. It wasn't forced on you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just well done.
Mm-hmm. And I think in the end, it shows what really made it and made us attached so well. Is sure the they didn't really introduce, well, once the monster kind of became apparent, but really the introduction, it was very real. It started out very real, and in that reality is what made us believe in the characters.
Well, even knowing what I knew, and Jack's laying there breathing hard, and Vincent's, and he's like he's in shock. He's like looking around going,
well, yeah, I'm saying what like, just you happened know, like to me? The cracking the jokes, like Jack kind of. Being a smart aleck to Boone, like that's real. It wasn't so much
something
a hero being like, "Hey, go get this," and blah blah blah. It was real.
Something anyone would do is being irritated by someone who's trying to help the camp.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all done it where he's like, "Oh yeah, okay, yeah, go do that."
And and Hurley, his expressions of frustration, where he's like, "Dude, seriously, just like it was
we're all
real.
In this together, dude."
Yeah, yeah. And I think it just showed what made this show so special was in that first pilot. So yeah, definitely 108 all the way.
And right off the bat, I don't think the acting of a lot of these actors was to the level that it was at the end of the show. Not to say their acting was bad, but you could tell that they didn't command the screen like they did at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And maybe that's what was needed for us to really be introduced to all of the characters.
It was like you're saying, realistic. It's like, I guess Matthew Fox was the biggest name on there.
Yeah.
I mean, Evangeline Lilly, I'd never heard of it. I think it was her
she
first.
She did like a Hotline ad.
Yeah. But Jorge Garcia did some small things. And, Josh Holloway did a Target commercial and a video for Aerosmith.
Something like that, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But they weren't well known. I mean, I'd seen Terry O'Quinn before and Matthew Fox, obviously. I'd seen it before, but most of them I didn't know who they were.
Yeah, exactly.
And to pull it off the way they did, but you watch their acting as the season, Josh Holloway, Jorge Garcia, Evangeline Lilly, how their acting gets stronger as the season goes.
And maybe that's what made it believable, though, in the realism, is that they weren't like big name actors, so they could relate probably to real characters,
here's
people.
Here's a question for you. Originally, it was supposed to be Michael Keaton. They wanted him to play Jack.
Uh-huh.
Would it have worked?
I think Mark Keaton's a great actor. I think he could have pulled it off. But I think that would have put that would have pulled us out of rooting for all of the characters. I mean, does that make sense? Like, it, since these were all, I mean, Matthew Fox was big Party Five, but he wasn't huge.
No.
And so, I mean, Michael Keaton, that's Batman. I mean, that's a big actor.
That's Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom, yeah. So I think like making them all relatable characters helped us to believe the show better instead of thinking, oh, it's well, also, Michael Keaton lost
also,
on an island.
Also, if Michael Keaton's Jack, we know he's supposed to be the leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Matthew Fox, okay, this guy's doing the job. I can see him being the leader. He's the doctor. He was taking charge.
And it makes the whole entire story of his denying of wanting to be a leader to actually becoming the leader who's supposed to be that much more believable.
So it's probably better off that Michael Keaton didn't accept the role.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. All right. So that's it for Lost in Review. Jack, what do you say we get some listener feedback?
I say you do it.
All right. Here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. Got some emails and calls to get into. So, Jack, what do you say? I have one email here. Do you have any?
I said memails.
Memails?
I didn't even.
Okay.
I was concentrating on the other podcast.
That's fine. But I do have one here from Dave from Arizona.
Dave from Arizona.
Jay and Jack, I have a question about episode one. Damon and Carlton have always maintained that they knew the basic storyline from the start. Yet in their original script for the pilot, Jack was supposed to be killed off. Since we now know that the entire Lost story basically revolves around Jack, how can this be? I know you're not Damon Carlton, but since you are ABC lackeys, I thought you might have an insight into this question, Dave from Arizona.
Wasn't the rumor that Kate was supposed to be the
leader? Like, because when Michael Keaton was attached, he was supposed to die in the first episode.
Yeah.
And so people were supposed to think he was the hero, but he was supposed to die, and then Kate would take over the hero role. Right. Another thing to remember is...
But I think people realize that a woman? I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding, of course.
Sort of riot.
I'm kidding.
I don't believe that at all. Women can be a leader.
I would follow Kate anywhere.
But
to the beach.
But I think you got to remember also is that Damon wasn't part of the show Lost until, what, like episode 7 or something like that. So he wasn't part of the show until later with Damon.
You said Carlton.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Carlton.
You said Damon. You're throwing me off.
I'm sorry. Carlton did not join the show until later.
And we didn't join ABC until the second year.
Yeah. But also you got to remember that if it was Kate, they'd probably kind of use Kate as that storyline. But the basic overall storyline is that, you know, a hero
Has to go through. Echo was supposed to have more of a story, be important to the show, and he, when he left, they had to move it on to someone else.
I mean, it's kind of also the same how, like, you know, Star Wars, originally Luke Skywalker was a girl.
Spoiler alert! But, you know, some people might say he was. Uncle Owen! Aunt Peru! Uncle Owen!
Just say how graphic that movie was, and those were like scarred skeletons.
Yeah.
Stormtroopers are tough.
It was rough in the 70s.
But yeah, so, you know, they just would have kind of readjusted that storyline to probably fit Kate instead of Jack.
I think we could pick what they've set apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the pilot, you look at the end. Yeah, there was a basic story there they had already set up.
Exactly.
They already had it set up. Like if Jack, it probably would have been Kate that, you know, ended up dying on the, you know, and Vincent sitting next to her.
Yeah.
Or it could have been someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that they checked they read message boards and they followed the story, what people were saying. Because when we get to Nikki and Paolo, they knew that people didn't like them.
Yeah.
And so they quickly killed them off because mm-hmm. people didn't like them. So, you know, they might have changed things here or there by going with the, you know, it's about, you want to tell a story your way, but you also have to keep the show on the air.
Exactly.
So they were doing, you know, they were doing what was making people happy. And people liked Matthew Fox. They liked his character, especially the first season. I don't think a lot of people hated Matthew Fox until later on, right? Where people started complaining about him.
What, Matthew Fox and his kind of whininess?
Not Matthew Fox. I mean, I'm sorry, Jack. It wasn't people hated Matthew Fox. They didn't like Jack, and they didn't like Jack's character.
Yeah. I mean, not. I guess he. I guess some people became a little bit vanilla.
Right.
But
at first, people for season one, I think most people liked Jack.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they cheered for Jack, and they just when he started butting heads with Locke. They started, you know, Locke started to be more popular. It was just depending on what battle you were
in. Depending on what side you were on, right, Jack? All right, Jack, ready for the first set of calls?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Mark in Staten Island.
Just calling real quickly in response to Jack's question as to whether or not he should be doing crackpot theories for the rewatch. Absolutely. Lost is now a completed work. This is when someone as intelligent as Jack can really dissect what's going on in the larger context of the work that is Lost. Once you do that, the question isn't so much what's going to happen as what does this mean in the context of the whole show. Jack, you can do it. You have to. You're our only hope.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Vikas calling from Providence, calling about the rewatch podcast. And I was just curious, what got you guys into Lost in the first place? Why did you watch the pilot? Was it the trailer or what? For me, it was actually because Dominic Monaghan was in it. I was a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so I wanted to support Mary from Lord of the Rings. Bye. Thanks.
Hey, Jay and Jack. I'm going through Jay and Jack withdrawal. I haven't heard anything in a while, but I wanted to put this out there. If you would mention this on your show, this would be great. This is Greg from Salem, Indiana, and big Lost fan and big fan of your podcast. And also through Lost, I've come to enjoy Michael Giacchino's music. I hope I've pronounced that right. No offense to him if I haven't. But I'm listening now to the Lost Season 6 soundtrack, and it's very good, as all his work has been. And his listening to his music through Lost has also caused me to listen to some of his other music and discover him as an artist in whole, and he's great. Would have been great to be part of that live program they did in Los Angeles, and also on Season 4 when they did the live concert out in Hawaii. That would have been pretty cool to attend. But anyway, what I'd like to challenge somebody out there to do, or maybe if somebody's already done this, you can point us to a web link, but I would like to see a cue sheet that would list where the particular pieces of music appeared in each show. It's nice listening to the episode or to the soundtracks, but it's hard for me to try to remember where each piece of music was played. But that would be really cool if somebody has done that, or a project for somebody out there that would like to do that. I know a few years ago when the Star Wars original trilogy soundtrack was released, that there was a booklet that came inside of that that listed where the different cues came from, and that was really good to be able to listen to the music and then also be able to be reminded of where that musical piece came in the movies. But if somebody has done that, just point us to a link, please. Other than that, keep up the great work. You're doing a great job, and looking forward to starting the rewatch. Take care.
All right, guys. Thank you for those calls.
Is there a link? You're the music man.
Do you know, I believe it was like on lost-forum.com or something. I can't remember exactly what... I can't remember what it was specifically, but generally, from what... The way the CDs are laid out, like the track numbers usually kind of give you an idea for like what part of like or what episode they were in. Like the first season, like the one we start out with was called Boonerol.
Yeah.
And I think that's you get that's when the music from Boone's funeral. So usually the track titles give you a pretty decent hint as to where that music was. But I'm sure there is a list out there, and if anybody knows that, give us a call or send us an email.
Yeah, that's another thing we forgot to mention, too, is the music.
Oh, yeah, the music was
great.
Right
off the bat, it's like, oh, my, the music is just, it was just a home run.
Yeah.
I hate to keep gushing over this, but I forgot how good it was.
The advantage you get with Giacchino is I think his greatest attribute in music composing is he's great at making themes that you can identify with and remember, and that really associate themselves very well with the images that you're seeing. So with Lost, there's some really good ones, like
he's a keeper.
The one where Jack is kind of when they finally do the credits when he's going through the wreckage, and then the life and death theme we associate so well that we hear. We just cry just because you know we hear it.
Yeah.
And of course, our favorite.
Or we cry when you redo it.
And you know our favorite, the bump, 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 bump,
It was in the, it was in this one when they started hiking up to the, I was like, yep. I was like, yeah.
That's always like their hiking, yeah, trekking music.
It was perfect.
But that's what's great about his work is when you hear it, you feel what they're going to do. Like, you get it. So when you hear the dum, 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 so you know it's going to be a hike or they're going somewhere. So anyway.
And then the other caller, I'm glad that they mentioned Dominic Monaghan, so we would have got hate mail because he was probably the most famous, wasn't he?
I guess that, I mean, to tell you the truth, that's why I was interested in the show Lost.
Really?
Initially, yeah. I was like, oh, he's doing a new show. I want to check that out. Because, at the time, especially, I was a very big Lord of the Rings fan. I still do love Lord of the Rings very much.
What got to me was I was a big Survivor fan.
Uh-huh.
And I heard stories about, I didn't see the pilot. I didn't see, you know, I watched like the fourth or, I don't know which episode it was. It might have been part of the pilot. I go, I don't know what's going on because I didn't watch the beginning. And so I said, I'll wait till we talked about this before, wait until the reruns. It wasn't until Jay bought the DVDs. We watched it in 2.5 days and got hooked on it right away. But you was Don McMonaghan, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I remember because they had like an article in USA Today and I was like, oh, it's Don McMonaghan. I got to check this out. Got to give him support.
Little Hobbit.
And that was my initial interest. And then after that, it was just like kind of in the when that pilot aired and just like talking about like, is it dinosaurs, blah, blah, blah. And then I remember on Extra, they had a thing about, oh, it's a polar bear. That's what the monster is. And it's just it's kind of. Well,
I can remember people come up. Are you watching Lost? I go, nah, I'm waiting. I have to wait for the reruns during the. But, you know, now it's not like it was when I was a kid. They would show the reruns in order. They know now that we can make money on this by selling the DVD, so they just kind of tease you for a little bit, and then and now they don't even show the show. Most shows just go off the air, and they bring summer replacement shows in that are, you know, either hit or miss, and you go, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Lost became a summer replacement show, basically, or a fall replacement show, or whatever it was. Or
what are you talking about?
Lost. It wasn't, you know, what, after the third season, they brought it back, and it didn't come back till January or February.
Yeah.
So it was a winter replacement or whatever you want to call it. It didn't come out when the season started.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then Mark, if I'm your only hope, sorry.
Well, don't worry. Jack does have the crackpot theories ready.
What they are scenes that probably happened that we didn't see.
Okay. Well, don't spoil that,
That's what I'm saying. Jeez.
Let it come naturally. Jeez.
All right.
All right, Jack, you ready for the last set of calls?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Brett from Seattle. So I'm staring at my season pass manager TiVo screen, remote control in my hand, trying to delete Lost from the season pass manager, and I can't do it. I don't know. I need help. Can you guys help me out in your podcast? Let me know if you've heard of other people with the same problem. All right. See you later. Thanks for the podcast. Love it, and looking forward to the rewatch.
Hi, Jane Jack. It's Zoe calling from London. My mom's going to kill me for calling abroad, but I just love the epilogue. I can't wait for Series 6 to be released on DVD here. And I couldn't wait for the epilogue, so I watched it online just like Jack. And I loved all the little details. I loved the nods to all the questions throughout the series, like, where is the food drop coming from? I always wanted to know that, and now I do. So it really wrapped up the series for me. Going back to the last podcast, perhaps Kate and Sawyer, when they got off the Ajira flight, maybe they went back and told Walt that Michael was dead. And perhaps Walt was in LA, in Santa Rosa, because maybe Jacob brought him there. Because maybe it was just his destiny. Just some thoughts. Anyway, I can't wait for the rewatch, and keep up with podcasting. Bye!
Hey, Jane Jack, this is Tyler from Baltimore. I just wanted to call and let you guys know, if you didn't already, which you probably do, that Nestor Carbonell, a.k.a. Richard Alpert, is now has a lead role on Psych. I don't know if he's here to stay, but he's definitely doing a pretty good job. And thanks for the podcast. See you guys soon.
Hey, Jay and Jack. Love your show. I've been listening throughout the whole Lost phenomenon, and it was great. I'm a first-time caller. Hey, this is Mark from Kentucky. I heard you guys talking about what Jack is going to do for the rewatch, you know, if he should do a crackpot theory. Of course, it'd be tough to do a crackpot theory because everybody knows if it's going to come true or not. So I think that what you should do is count, at the end of each episode, count all of the plot points that you think that they didn't follow through on, all of the mysteries that in hindsight are obvious that they didn't give the answers to. And you could call it your cracked plot theory. And when you get to the end, then we'll know all the things that they didn't do. But enjoying the show, ready for the rewatch. Thanks, guys.
That's a great idea. We should add it to Lost in Review. We'll call it the cracked plot.
I think in this one, I think that's kind of what I've done.
Well, okay, so let's look at that. What was introduced in this episode that was never answered?
Never answered. How the Marshal got the shrapnel in his gut.
Okay, but did that really need to be answered?
I have an answer for it.
Oh, is that part of your crackpot theory?
It's one of my. I have two crackpot theories.
Okay, all right. But ones that were in this that just weren't answered, like big. I mean, were any big questions not answered?
Off the top of my head.
Like ones that were like, oh man, they never did answer that, did they?
Was Shannon pregnant?
That was your own theory.
Looking back on it now, maybe she thought, because maybe she was so uncomfortable with Claire, it's because she knew she was pregnant.
I'm talking about real things.
I'm just saying.
Okay, but anyways,
but
back
it just
to...
seemed she was so uncomfortable. Was it just because she was a rotten person?
Yes, I think that's what they're going for.
Or they just want us to hate her? Like, come on, give the cute little blonde girl some love there, Shannon. Jeez.
She's taking a cue from me 2 years later.
How you just dumped Claire and hated her. You know,
I can't think of any big things.
If you watch this episode, how could anybody later on hate Claire? And people did. They didn't like her. You didn't like her. How did? Because she went from being so cute and lovable.
She did,
and,
but then she became annoying really fast.
I don't know. I said, geez.
Once she popped the baby out, there's no more excuses. But going to back on hand here, like, okay, so there's no glaring questions that weren't answered in this episode.
I can't think. I'm sure there's one, but I can't.
We found out why the plane crashed.
Right.
We found out what that monster was. We found out why there was polar bears there. We found out what happened to Rousseau. We found out how she got there, why she got there. We found out what Kate did.
We found out the friction between Michael and Walt.
We found out why Charlie used heroin.
Mm-hmm.
We found out why Locke seemed like he had a new, fresh start on life. All those things that were there, those were all answered. So far, I think there's no tally up for questions unanswered.
We found out why Gary Troop wasn't in the next episode.
Yes, very much so.
So
I think so far, I think we're at zero.
And then with Zoe asking, you did have questions around, and you have questions like, you know, the food drop and all this stuff. And that's what made the show so good.
Mm-hmm.
Made it what it was, because you had shows that you questioned every week. You were like, what's going on? But then a lot of people got tired of that, though. That's why they lost a lot of viewers, because they weren't asking questions. And then people got impatient, but I thought it worked pretty good. I don't know.
And yeah, Nestor Carbonell on Psych.
Yeah, I skipped Tyler there. You know, it's funny, as I had all those episodes, I was going to watch them later on.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, my DVR only keeps 5 and has been deleting them.
Oh, dude.
And I didn't know it. And I'm like going, wait, what happened to the episodes? And so I'm missing out. So I think we're just going to put it in. We're going to do it on Netflix and watch it.
Gotcha.
That way. But it's like, oh.
You can do it on Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Is it on Hulu?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch it there.
Do it quick before they get rid of this season on Hulu. But yeah, Nestor Carbonell on Psych is great. I
hope
he sticks
around. Our close personal
friend,
Nestor. So.
Yeah. It's and there's actually a few little Lost references in there. See if you can find them. They're not obvious, but there is some references.
Yeah. If you have a chance to meet Nestor, he's a really nice guy.
And Nestor isn't actually the only Lost actor that is in the episodes that he's in.
Really?
Another little
spoiler.
See if you can find it out. It's pretty obvious.
I'll go Google it. And then Brett, we've had a lot of people saying they can't delete it. They can't delete Lost from their...
Yeah, exactly.
I've done it. It just did it because I needed room for other shows, and I figured, well, the DVDs will be out. And
shows where your loyalties lie.
I'd watched the final episode 5 times.
Uh-huh.
I've watched it 5 times. How many times do I have to watch it? At least
you have to watch it at least one more time.
This time, at least I didn't cry. This time, I knew it was coming up. I said, it still chokes me up.
Yeah,
but I didn't cry.
All right, Jack.
I was a man about it.
Thank you guys for your listener feedback. Remember, next week, if you can get your calls in about the episode, things that you thought about it too, that would be great.
Yeah, people are wondering if they should watch it after they listen to the podcast.
No, watch it before.
Watch the episode first. Then we're going to release it on Wednesdays, right?
Yes, Wednesdays.
Wednesdays
so
will be out, and then you'll
watch.
Basically,
it's like
when we're recording after the episode.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're going to want to do is actually the show's going to end with Next on Lost. That's when we'll talk about the episodes to watch for the next episode. And during that time, watch it. Come up with ideas, theories, questions, comments. Call in, email in, so then that'll kind of fill up the listener feedback.
See what you might have
like. So the feedback matches what we're talking about this episode.
And you may see something that like would happen during the show. You may see something that we didn't see.
Exactly.
And people, I didn't see exactly. That. Let me go back and watch it. Like little things.
Exactly. So keep that in mind, people. All right, Jack.
People, you keep that in mind.
I didn't mean like.
You're
that.
Just being really rude.
Right, I know. I'm sorry. I am rude. What's the deal with me?
You're cranky.
I think my name would be Jack. Bitter Jack. All right.
No, cynical old man.
All right, Jack, are you ready for your crackpot theory of the week?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I know what people are thinking is I kind of brought up earlier that the Marshall, you know, he had a piece of plane shrapnel stuck
yes.
in his, you know,
his
gut there.
Yeah.
People are probably thinking, you know, it's so obvious. The plane was breaking up. He already got hit in the head with a suitcase, and, you know, because people didn't stow their overhead, you know. They tell you that every time. Stow your overhead luggage and make sure it's secure, and it could shift during the flight. Well, the marshal didn't listen. So he gets hit in the head with a suitcase. People thinking, oh, just a piece of shrapnel ripped off and stabbed him when he's laying there. No, it was Kate.
What?
He was going to tell everyone that she was... She knew, so she stabbed. Because where do we see Kate? Where did her and Kate Jack first meet up?
In the jungle.
She's running. She's doing what she always does. She's running.
Where was she running to? She didn't run into the jungle. She walked into that.
She was moving very brisk. She was moving. She was on the run.
Kate,
we just didn't.
Where's she gonna run to? She's on an island.
She didn't care. Why was she always hiking? Why did she always want to go on the hikes? Because she was looking for a place to hide.
Wow.
Because she... am I not right? About looking for a place to hide?
I guess.
Why was Kate...
I wouldn't expect you to turn on Kate like
I'll go with you, Jack. I'll go up with you, Saeed. Because she was looking for a place to hide somewhere where she could get off that... She was always on the run. She didn't think she was going to stay with these people forever. She was always... Come on.
Really? Okay.
Because she was always on the run.
So she stabbed them. I never see her as a murderer.
Well, that's why. But she does think she's compulsive like that.
Yeah.
She kills her childhood friend.
Well, she didn't kill him. She drove and then somebody shot at the car. And then
because
the
she does
died.
Think she's compulsive.
Okay. All right.
She blew up her dad. You don't see her as a killer? Come on. Spoiler alert. She killed her dad.
That's season two. Good job.
But she's trying to get away. She freaked out and she lost, and then she felt bad afterwards.
So she stabbed him. Wow.
She felt bad afterwards.
Okay.
So that's my crackpot theory. And that one I'm sticking to. Also, why is Jack in the bamboo away from everyone?
That's always been a big question.
Why is Jack?
What's your answer?
Man in Black put him there.
Really?
He did. He scanned it. They're all laying there, all passed out and stuff, and all in shock. He did a quick scan. I think you see smoke flying around somewhere. It's not smoke from the plane. It's smoky going around. And he finds out that Jack's a doctor and can save most of these people. He doesn't want him to be saved.
So he throws him out.
He can't kill him. You don't want to kill him because he's got a game plan going on.
Well, he can't kill him because he's also on the list. I think people on the list are protected.
They're protected. So he knows that he can't kill Jack, or he can't kill some of these people. But if they were to die because of the wounds they have, not his fault. So he picks Jack up and puts him in the bamboo.
And the bamboo, remember, is also very close to the source.
Right. So I think Jack was behind that. I mean, I think Man in Black was behind putting Jack away. Because it always bugged me, why was Jack so far away?
Or could it be that Jacob put him there to kind of show him what he needs to protect?
You know, but that comes with the whole argument, you people that are pro-Jacob, Jacob doesn't get involved. Even though we see Jacob get involved.
That's true.
We see Jacob get involved quite a bit, but then the argument is Jacob doesn't, he says he doesn't get involved.
Uh-huh.
But we do see Jacob get involved.
Okay.
So that, I was going to go with that, but I said, I don't want to get this whole Jacob get involved thing. I wanted to avoid that right off the bat. So I said, let's put Man in Black, because Man in Black is, we know he's there. Jacob, we don't know where he's probably sewing something. he hasn't learned yet. He's still kind of whiny and cranky. But those are my two crackpot theories. And I'm sticking to it.
All right. So, Jack, are you ready to get some Next on Lost?
The TV show.
Here we go.
Next on Lost. on Lost, the TV show. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's in a couple days. Cause next on Lost. Lost on the Lost.
All right, it's next on Lost,
the TV show.
So next week, we are going to
next on Lost, the memory.
Next on Lost, next week we're going to be doing Tabula Rasa and Walkabout.
Wow.
Walkabout, probably one of my top three favorite episodes of the whole show.
Well, those are two great episodes.
They are two great episodes. First one is Kate-centric, and the next one is Locke-centric. Some big reveals in that, and I look forward to watching those and seeing what new things are revealed in... And how it all relates to the entire show. Are you excited, Jack?
Well, spoiler alert, the bald guy can actually, he wasn't walking the whole time.
Jeez, thanks. But so, between now and next, let's say we'll probably, by at least, say next Sunday, watch the episode, or the two episodes, and get in your listener feedback.
Right.
For that episode. And that's about it. And yeah, our next part will be on Wednesday. So look for these on Wednesdays.
So we don't know our recording schedule, so we'll just play it safe. Have your calls in by Sunday.
Exactly. It's going to be fluctuating probably between Monday or Tuesday, somewhere around then. So, because, you know, jobs, they always get in the way.
Oh, I hate having to work.
So yeah. So, Tabula Rasa, Walkabout. Really look forward to it. And yeah, so Jack, you ready to close out the show?
I am so ready.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Wednesday.
Yay!
If you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
Once again, it's 206-309-0311. Calling time with the last question, comments
and or theories.
Also, give us an email to
lostpodcast@gmail.com.
Once again, it's lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/JayandJack. Once again, twitter.com/JayandJack. And our personal accounts at CrackpotJack and at Luke Venk, V-E-N-K.
He'll never answer you.
What are you talking about?
He'll never answer you. You don't even follow us on The Married Men.
Because I don't want to.
Man.
It's a waste of time.
Wow. So bitter.
All right, guys.
This was a lot of fun, though. I really enjoyed going back and watching it again.
Yeah,
I
said, okay, me too.
I kind of was thinking, am I going to enjoy doing this? But it was so much fun to watch it again and see what was happening. You know, you knew it. Just, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And we have 119 more of these to go.
I'll watch those tomorrow.
All right, guys. We'll see you next Wednesday. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.